As I mentioned, when we were on this cruise, we saw some amazing sights. And one sight that we saw, which was awesome, was a live volcano. And the captain of the cruise ship took us quite close to this volcano. It was billowing smoke and ash, and it was just such an amazing sight. And then there was one moment when I actually wasn't filming, which is typical, but one moment when suddenly there was an eruption of molten lava. And suddenly in the midst of this black smoke and ash, there were the fiery sparks and the fiery evidence of this molten lava just bursting forth into the air. And I was just thinking how awesome God is. This creator who has created a universe that declares, the Bible says, his glory. Father, we thank you. You're so great, so awesome, so majestic, so powerful. Yet you're a father who wants to speak to your children, to reveal your purposes and plans, to enable them to walk in your ways. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give me your thoughts, your heart, your mind, that I might share with your people what you this morning want them to know, that they might discover that as they follow you, that you will bless them in abundance, so that they might know and experience your love, so that they might share that love with those around. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, we came back from nearly a month's cruise, arriving back home on Easter Sunday, and we'd gone to Croatia and Montenegro. We'd never been to either of those places before, and it was an amazing experience to be able to not only see the wonder of God's creation, but be able to also see various artifacts, to discover past history, to walk streets that people hundreds and hundreds of years ago walked, to be in areas where we saw the evidence of the Romans and their construction, and just to be reminded how that it's an amazing world we live in, and to be able to go and discover things we'd never have discovered, never seen, so many new experiences, so many exciting things to do. And it reminded me that for all of us, we are on a journey. And in that journey, there is a God who wants us to discover new things, a God who wants to reveal to us new things that can become part and parcel of our own story and of our own life, that not only applies to us as individuals, but it applies to us as a church as well. And I sense in this time that you as a church are at, that you need to know that you're on a journey, and that this is a journey into a new territory. This is a journey into new experiences. This is a journey into discovering some fresh things. This is a journey into treading on areas where you've not trodden before spiritually. And that although we look at areas we've been and look at our past, and we are grateful and thankful for all that means to us, to realize that we cannot live in the past, neither look back to the past, but we live in the present and we walk into the future. For me, it's a time of transition as well. 2 years ago, I stepped down as the senior leader of the Estuary Church Group, Beenham Church that I led. And next month, I stepped down as the regional leader for the Beenham Churches. And as I come to a conclusion of one chapter, what I do know is that there's a new chapter opening up for me. What I do know is that I'm going to be entering into a new sense of understanding and knowing what God wants, where God is leading, and some of those things will involve new territory. As an Elam church, as a movement, we are bringing in some significant changes. We are creating multiple leadership streams. We're creating an environment where we as a movement believe that the position of leadership is not just simply rooted in the person who is called the minister or the pastor, but is rooted in the recognition that every person is called into ministry. That's what Paul writes when he says that God places in the church pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, that they may prepare the people of God for the works of the ministry. And I want to say to you as a church, and for you who are part of this church family, that there are things ahead that God wants to do in your life and through your life. It will be both exciting, but sometimes be a bit awesome and overwhelming. But to know that as you step into what God calls you to do, see, it's not rooted in your abilities. It's not simply rooted in your talents. Yes, you are gifted and you've been given those special, unique qualities that God wants to use. But at the same time, to realize that it's in Him, it's by His power, it's by His strength, it's by His Spirit that we're able to be people who declare to a world that needs to know that Jesus is Lord. A world where at the moment there is such a shaking that's going on. There is such an awareness of a feeling of what does the future hold. There is a fear that is gripping many lives. And we've come to declare that in Jesus, perfect love casts out all fear. In Jesus, we discover someone, whatever the circumstances that there may be around us, is able to hold us and to keep us. And so my mind was taken to the Old Testament and to a very familiar character. His name was Abraham. And I want us to, this morning, just for a while, journey with him. We're going to start from Genesis 11 and we are going to pick up from verse 27, moving into Genesis 12. Yes, I will include her as well. Thank you, Grace. So it says, this is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abraham and Nahor both married. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren and had no children. Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abraham, and together they set out from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. May God bless his word to us. See, it's very easy for us to do what Terah did, and that is to reside rather than to journey. In our Christian life, we can come to that place where we get settled, where we get comfortable, where we feel that there is no further journeys to make. We either feel that we have accomplished all we can accomplish, or we sometimes get to the point where we feel tired and weary, weary with the struggle of pilgrimage, the struggle of journey, and so we say, right, we're going to settle here. This is where we're going to stay. And that was the case for Terah. See, he was going to Canaan. but he never arrived there. And for some of us, if we're not careful, we will miss our destiny because we will settle rather than journey. For us as a church to recognize that we have to be careful that we do not come into a place where we settle and decide that we are comfortable with what we've got, where we're at, that there is a sense in which we no longer want to explore by faith the unknown and what God has in store for us. But for us to say, yep, we will settle here. We know what we're doing here. We've built a foundation here. We're happy here. We're comfortable here. This is how it has been, and this is how it will always be. And for people in their spiritual walk and for churches in their spiritual life who do that, they miss so much of the opportunities that God has for them. They miss so much of what God can accomplish in them and through them. When I was in my teens, late teens, we used to have what was called a treasure hunt. Don't know whether you've ever been on a treasure hunt. So who likes looking for treasure? You like looking for treasure? It's great to be trying to discover treasure. And we used to do treasure hunts using a car. And I love driving. So for me, this was the best of all worlds. But you used to be given instructions sometimes, which seemed to be, for me, so perplexing, I had no idea where I was going. I was just hoping that the others that were in the car with me understood what the clues were. And so as I used to drive along, they would be telling me where to go. Maureen still tells me where to go. It's a realization that as you're taking this journey, you are looking out for treasure. Now, when I went to one of these places that I visited, I found some treasure in a Pizza Hut. Well, it wasn't actually a Pizza Hut, but it was a pizza place. We'd gone to visit this city, and we had a guide. And the guide said to us, "I want to take you to show you some treasures." And so we thought that would be good. And so we started to follow the guide. And she took us down some stairs and we arrived in a pizza restaurant. And there were all the people in the restaurant. "Do you like pizza? Do you like pizza? Do you? Which is your favourite pizza? Have you got a favourite? You like all pizza? I like Hawaiian. I'm told that I shouldn't like Hawaiian because I'm a man and it's got pineapple on it, but I'm very sorry. I just like Hawaiian. That's all there is to it." And so we arrived at this pizza place. We went into this restaurant and we started walking amongst the tables and they were all sitting there eating their pizza thinking, "What are this lot doing?" And then we went down some more stairs and we arrived in the kitchen and they were cooking pizza. And I thought, when she said she was going to show us treasures, I didn't realise it was going to be pizza that she was going to show us. However, what I didn't know was in the place where they were cooking the pizza, they had discovered some ancient treasures there. There was an ancient wall, and there were some Roman treasures, and they had them on display in another area of the kitchen. And so here we were in this place where on the one side you had all the modern cooking equipment, cooking pizza, and on the other side all these treasures that were hidden from view. But when they built this place and dug the foundations, they discovered these treasures and were able to view them and to see them. You see, there are so many treasures that God has for you and for me. And for you as a young person, there's some amazing treasures in store for you if you keep on following Jesus. And that applies for all of us. You see, for Abraham, God says, "I've got treasures to show you. I've got blessings to give to you. I've got a journey for you to take." And very quickly, I want to give you some thoughts that I want you to reflect on in your own life. The first of this fault is this. You have to relinquish what you depend upon to discover the treasures that are yet to come. See, what God says to Abraham, leave your country. And you see, for so many of us, that is a struggle. A struggle to leave what we're familiar with. A struggle to leave where our roots are. A struggle to leave where we perhaps built something that we enjoy having as part and parcel of our lives. And as a church, we so easily, equally, can fall into that same trap that when God says leave, leave the familiarity, leave the style, leave the way that you do things and begin to start to journey into something different and something new and something fresh, we can find ourselves really in a place of turmoil. And certainly for me as a church leader, let me say that the Elim church, when I went to it in 1980, was a very different style of church to what it was when I left it in 2023. Each and every one of those chapters have been important chapters. Each one of those times have been important times, and we've been in the place where God wanted us to be and doing what God wanted us to do. But there came a time when God says, I want you to leave this, I want you to relinquish this, I want you to step out in new ways. See, for us as a church, or for me as a church leader, and for us as a movement, if I talk about Elim for a moment, at one time when I came in, there were no involvement of any females. And we were in a place where, you know, it was the men that served communion, it was the men that did the preaching, it was the men that did the leading. That is not the case now. And it's not saying that there was at that time something necessarily wrong with that, but what I'm saying is there comes a time when God says that something that you are familiar with, something that you've accepted, is now a time to move into something fresh and something distinctive and something new as you take your journey. But you have to leave your country. And for some of you, you need to be ready and willing to relinquish that which you have depended upon. See, some of you put your trust in other things rather than in what Jesus wants to do. And some of you have put down foundations based on what you've built rather than what God is building. The second thing is, it says that if you relinquish what you depend upon, then revelation will come. I will show you. See, it's interesting, isn't it, that we have to relinquish before revelation flows. And the reason we have to relinquish before revelation comes is because if we don't relinquish, we tend to have our eyes and our focus on what we hold on to and what we treasure and what we consider to be priorities, rather than having our focus on what God is revealing and what God is saying and what God is doing. And some of you need to reframe your focus. When I go to the opticians, the optician takes off my glasses and he shows me these letters. He said, how many lines can you see? And I can read without my glasses with a struggle. There are certain, see, some of you now are very blurred. I can't see whether you're smiling, crying, moaning, grumbling. But when I put, you're now back in focus, I can see all that you're up to. And you see, what we have to realize is that God wants us to focus on him. And when we're focused elsewhere, our vision can become blurred. And for some of us, our vision is blurred because we have allowed ourselves to fall into the trap where we've taken off our spiritual lenses and we're now seeking to see things through our own human perspective rather than through the perspective that God has for us. And so again, what God says is, okay, I will show you, but for me to show you, you need to be looking. You need to center your vision and your direction on me and what I am revealing to you. And so Abraham, he goes and says, right, I'm ready to receive that revelation. I do not know what it means, but I know it will make a difference. When Jesus came and spoke to his followers, he said, "Follow me." And they left and followed him. They had no idea where the journey would lead them. They had no idea what ultimately it would bring them to. But eventually they came to a destiny where they became men and women that could turn the world upside down. And we as a church, as we continue to have our eyes fixed on Jesus and seek revelation from him, we can move into a destiny that will bring honor and glory to him. Because the next thing we discover is this. He says, "Do you know what? Not only will I show you something, but I'm going to make you into something." He says, "I will make you." You see, we are being reshaped by God. I am not the person I was 50 years ago when I was one or two or a bit. You see, over the years, I have been reshaped. I've been reshaped as far as my body is concerned, but I think some of that is down to me rather than down to God. But I certainly have been reshaped spiritually. I'm not the same person I was. Some of my theology is no longer the way it was. I've discovered that I had to allow God to mold me and shape me so that I might become who he wants me to be in the season in which I find myself. And for each and every one of you, God wants to reshape you. He wants to remold you. He wants to enable you that you are treasures that can, that you are earthen vessels that can contain heavenly treasure. I was useless when it came to pottery. We used to do pottery when I was at school. Do you still do pottery at school? You do. Are you good at pottery? Do you make lovely pots? Do you? I could never do that. I used to get the lump of clay, and you'd have the teacher, and you'd put the lump of clay on the pottery wheel, and I'd watch, and almost magically, this amazing pot appeared. And so I thought, that's easy. Any idiot can do that. And so I put my lump of clay on the pottery wheel. You have no idea what shape it was, but it didn't look like a pot. And certainly it was of no use whatsoever. See, because I was not skilled, I was not able to shape that clay into what it was meant to be. Some of us are trying to shape ourselves into what we think God wants us to be instead of allowing God to shape us in what he wants us to be. And what we have to do is we have to say, "You are the potter, I am the clay." And as a church, we have to say, "You are the potter, we are the clay. You shape us as you want us. You mold us as you want us. You enable us to be in that place where we are able to contain all that you want to do in these days as you fill us with your power and with your presence." He says, "I will reshape you." But in order for all of that to happen, and I'm just careful of time, we have to resolve to continue in our journey. See, it says, Abraham traveled through the land. He didn't settle down. He didn't stop. He didn't come to conclusions. He didn't decide himself, this is where I need to be. He continued on that journey in tune and in touch with the one who said, "I will lead you." And for you and for me and we as a church, we have to be in that place where we're saying, "Do you know, we are not going to stop until you tell us to stop. We're going to keep going, whatever that looks like, whatever that means, whatever new territory that takes us into, whatever it enables us to discover, whatever it might mean to us in the terms of cost, we will continue to do that because we want to arrive at your destination for us and we want to be the people that you want us to be." And so he journeyed. You know, I'm fully aware that journeying can be a real struggle. Maureen loves walking. I love driving. But sometimes she tells me I have to walk. And again, on our cruise, we did an awful lot of walking. One place we went to, I think I counted 300 steps down and then 300 steps back up again. I thought, oh, why do I have to go all the way down there to come all the way back up here? But you see, the reason we went all the way down there was because there were things that we wanted to see that we would not have seen if we'd stayed at the top. And there are things that God wants to show to you as a church which will require a cost. It will require you to take steps of faith where you are stepping into the unknown, but where you will discover that God will open up to you a vision of something you would never have discovered and never have seen had you not been willing to take those steps and not be willing to pay that cost. And so Abraham, every day, he woke up and he said, right, Lord, where are you leading me now? Right, Lord, where do you want me to go now? I want to stay in step with you because I want to step into my destiny. And I pray that you as a church and you as individuals will continue to be in step with Jesus. I want to conclude, bearing in mind how time has gone, there's two other things. I'm going to leave these with you. It says that he built an altar. See, as part of our journey, and as Abraham took his journey, there came moments where he reached out to God. We need to stay in step with God, but we need to be those who worship and reach out to him. He built an altar. He said, Lord, this is to honor you. And I want you to know that you are central to my life, and I want to worship you, and I want to glorify you, and I want to walk with you. But you see, what it goes on to say is this, that not only did he reach out for God, but he understood something else. He understood that in his journey, relationship was key. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. What did Jesus do and why did Jesus come? Many of us would immediately say he came to save us from our sin. That is, in one sense, correct. But actually what Jesus says, I've come to bring you to the Father. I've come to bring you into relationship. I want you to know the Father in a relationship that is so intimate and so amazing that you realize that you are his child and that he is your Father and that he is there to bless you and minister to you. And so I want to conclude by saying this, that in your journey, relationship will be key. Relationship with a God who calls you and says to you, if you journey with me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply blessings to you in such a way you cannot comprehend, but I want you to know that the blessings will be so abundant and so overwhelming and so amazing. Not only will you be blessed, but there will be multitudes of others who will be blessed through you. And you will make an impact upon your community and upon your world because as you walk with him and as your relationship with him deepens and grows, you will come to know and understand that he is a God who says, leave. Leave where you're comfortable. Leave where you're settled. Realign with my purposes. Be willing to relinquish what you're dependent upon. Allow revelation from me to come. Be reshaped as you journey with me into the future. Resolve to keep going, not allowing anything to distract you or to in any way divert you from the course that I've set for you. Reaching out for me, making me central in your heart and life. And Father will say, you will discover me. And the relationship you will have with me will be both intimate, amazing and awesome. May God bless you.
Father, we thank you that we can praise you and that you are a God who's worthy of our praise because you are the one who's loved us and given yourself for us. And you are, as we've been reminded, you are our Father who loves us more than we can ever imagine. Father, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for the challenge that it is to us, Lord, and we pray that you'll help us as a church and as individuals to listen to what you are saying to us, to hear your voice, and to be prepared to take the step of faith that we need to do whatever it is that you want us to do. Father, we just pray that you'll bless us as we go away from here. It's so easy to walk away and to be taken up by other things in our lives, but we pray that you'll help us to remember what we've heard from you this morning, and to take it into our lives with us. So bless each one of us here And Lord, we pray that you will look upon us and keep us safe and make your face to shine upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Let's pronounce the benediction to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore.
Amen.
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 May I remind you, strong men or strong women, don't mind either. We need to move chairs. We need to help.